Now, lie on your back.
With a pillow behind my head?
No, just lie on your back. All right. Okay, first thing about the sleep position is you need a firm surface upon which to sleep. Now, firm is a relative term. For some, firm is uncomfortable, for others, maybe very soft. So I'll say it this way. You need to have a surface that is as firm as comfort permits for you. So that has a fairly large range of texture. It won't do you any good to sleep on a hard surface upon which you're uncomfortable, so do make sure that you're comfortable. But you want to avoid those kinds of mattresses that scoop under like a soup bowl, you know, that sort of thing. That's not good. Now, there are lots of very adequate mattresses on the market. Quite often they're called orthopedic or something, extra firm or whatever. You have a large choice from which to choose. My suggestion, unless you have some fashion commitment for fashionable beds and mattresses, is to use a futon, a cotton futon. And again, you can get them various thicknesses and degrees of hardness or softness to suit your own needs. Okay, now once you have a nice firm surface upon which to rest, the positions that I'm going to show you are not absolutes. In other words, you're not going to go into the position with the idea or intention of holding the position all night, because you're going to change. You're going to roll around. You're going to move. And so the idea of the position is really to initially align yourself, which is part of helping you to program yourself for better patterns in your sleep. And the first position I'm going to show you is the back position, lying on your back, the supine position. Now, in the supine position, we run across the same problem if the legs are extended as you do in constructive rest. We're going to solve it a little differently, however. So extend your legs. I want the class to see. As I told you, that tends to tilt the pelvis down, which creates stress on the lumbar and pushes the lumbar up, as it were. Okay, now, the way we're going to solve this is to put pillows under the knees. So raise your knees and I'll put these pillows under here. Just a minute. Lift. Okay, now bring your knees down. Okay, you need more pillow actually, but this will serve to show the class the essence of what it is. Now, I'm not recommending that you sleep in any particular position. It's up to you. But if you're going to be on your back, you do want some support under the knees to take the stress off the lower back. And it's also quite comfortable. If you've never slept with pillows under your knees, try it. Give yourself that luxury. Quite nice. Now, if you want to... Danny, can you hand me some more pillows or somebody back there? There's some foam rubber, I think, that we could use as pillows. Mm. good. Give me a couple more of these. Okay. Oops, sorry. Didn't realize the knees were so high. All right. Now, let's see. Let's put something under your head. I'm just giving you a little bit of pillow. You can have whatever you need here. When you're sleeping, the pillow can be under your neck as well as under your head. I use the head simply because I'm trying to work on the alignment of the cervical spine in constructive rest, but you don't have to do that in sleep. Put the pillow wherever it's comfortable for you. And I just wouldn't use a super pillow that would take the chin into the manubrium. Now, if you are a creature of comfort, you might want to have pillows under your arms. Bring your arms down by your sides here. Little small pillows, which will tend to alleviate the stress that the arms resting on the floor as they pull against the shoulders. So you could do that, and you could get to be quite comfortable. So pillows under the knees, and then pillows under the head as usual, and that should set you up for a good beginning of a good night's sleep on the back, if you're going to start on your back. All right. Now, next position is side lying. Swigart thought side lying was the best position. Okay, just lie, and I'll show the class what we need to do. Now, here you've got to have sufficient pillow under the head so that the shoulder can relax under you. The legs, I would start off with some flexion, not stiffly out. About 90 degrees is fine. Now, if you want to sleep on your side, you can have one leg behind the other, either one, doesn't matter. Or you can have the two legs even the way you did. If you want to do that, you might want some padding between the knees and the ankles. Again, probably one single small pillow, thin pillow would suffice, or you could put a little towel in between your legs. That's just to keep the surfaces of the these condyles here as they rest against each other from being uncomfortable. Also the malleoli of the lower leg as they rest against each other can sometimes be uncomfortable because they protrude, as you can see. As far as the arm is concerned, what you're doing is fine. You could do this as an alternate. Either way, fine. You just want to have the... It's not good, really, to sleep on a body part because that tends to impede circulation. So I would avoid sleeping on my hands or arms or whatever. Try to use some sort of padding. Even gorillas make a nest kind of out of straw and branches and rest on it instead of using their arms. Okay. And you can sleep on either side. I would vary the sides. I wouldn't do the same side all the time. I change around a bit. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is that as we go into extreme folding, while it could be all right, usually it indicates a tightening, you know, and it's better to sort of be moderate in that. Same thing about stiffening the legs out. That means usually that a person is very tightly, rigidly that way. So I go for about a 90-degree angle at the knee joint there, approximately, to work it out. I think it'd be much better. Okay, you got one more position only you can go to. That's face down. Let me take these out of the way. Now here we run into several problems. Number one, that old devil lumbar spine coming back to haunt us. The weight of the body here is going to increase the curvature there, putting some stress. And that's very simple to handle. You just put a pillow or something under the lumbar spine. You might want to adjust that to be on your lumbar. You see, that helps to relieve that. Now, for those of you who do body work, massage and stuff like that, when you massage your client, if you're massaging with them face down, that you want to pay attention to. Have some support under the lumbar so as you exert pressure, you don't put stress in the lumbar spine. It's enough stress if a person is lying face down without any pressure on them, but when you add the pressure of massage, you're going to aggravate that situation. So put some padding, pillow or something under the lumbar. Now, even dancers who are very flexible, when they lie like this, there's stress at the ankle joints, as you can see. So we handle that by putting the pillow under the legs there, and that takes the stress off of the ankles. If it's summer and warm, you can just dangle your feet over the edge of the bed. You won't need to do that. Okay. Now, up above, the head's turned one way or the other. It's not usually good to sleep the forehead down. We have some degree of shoulder and neck tension, and it can become a little uncomfortable. So to help that out, you can put a pillow under the upper part of the chest. Adjust it for you under the upper part of your chest. And that will take, you see, that makes it easier for you to let your head rest. Okay. Interesting thing here is you'll find that the head turns more easily or rests more easily on one side than the other. And one of the things that you can do to help the sides become more comfortable, both of them, especially the one that's more difficult, is to work on lengthening the spine. I'll help that. I don't like to sleep in this position, but I use it as to check my neck tension out. And I use the image of the spine lengthening. I may stay in the position 5 minutes or so just to challenge the body. If there's discomfort, the side to which there's more discomfort is the side I work on with the spinal lengthening. Now those are your three basic positions. Again, for those who didn't come in at the beginning of the presentation, important thing in sleeping is to have a firm surface upon which to sleep. Again, that firmness can be your choice. Must be comfortable, however. The other thing is, that's all right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any variations on those could be fine. The important thing is that the surface, as I say, be as firm as you can be comfortable upon. Again, so that you're all clear about this, the positions I've been showing you are initial positions that you take and that you start your sleep off with, not to be thought of. Don't put an intention behind it. that you're going to remain there, or that you must remain in that position, because then you are simply imaging rigidity, and you don't want to do that. You change whenever you feel like it. What you'll find as you get more sensitive to lining yourself up and to being organized is that you'll tend to go from one centered position to another. Thank you very much. Get a good rest. All right, could you take the rest of this back here? All right. It's not under your head, it's under your chest. Not under your head. If you put it under your head, you would increase the tension because you'd be putting more pressure on the neck on that. Okay. Yes. Fine. Yeah, that's fine. I know about the pillow. Right. That's why I said earlier in class that you put the pillow under your neck in sleeping as opposed to what we do in constructive rest, which is under the head. Put it under your neck is fine. Get to be totally comfortable there. I just wouldn't have a pillow that brings the chin into the manubrium. That's the thing you want to avoid. But under your neck is fine. Any other questions about the positions of sleep? Only problem now is to find enough time to sleep. Okay. Now, we're going to do a little exercise here where we divide into groups of three. And one partner is going to sit. And the other two are going to work on the partner who is sitting. So let's do that now. Let's just select a couple of people to work with you, two people, three people. Okay. Then decide which of the three will be first to work. Let that person sit, the other two persons stand. And I'll show you what we're going to do. All right. Now, want to see if we can begin to bring into the sitting position some of the ease of constructive rest. So one partner is going to come touch or lift very lightly under the knees to give you that sense of the knee ends of the femur bones extending into space or being lighter than the pelvic ends. The pelvic ends of the femur bones are going to be heavy, the weight being delivered into the pelvis. Okay? Now, while this is happening, the other partner is going to touch the sacrum, because I want you to let the sacrum lengthen, the tailbone lengthen. And I'd like to do that with the image of the fan, because there you can watch the tassel lengthening as the fan widens. So, somebody, who's working with Kathy? All right, you touch in the sacrum, give support, and then you can lift upon the knees, all right? Now, everybody do that with his or her partner, and we'll take the next step in a moment. You don't lift the feet off the floor, just take a little of the weight out so that your partner can think of the knees floating up and lengthening. That's going to let you lengthen your spine. So let go your spine as you find the knees being supported. And see the heads of the femur bones resting in the pelvis. This is what you do in constructive rest when you get support. See, Kathy, you don't have a partner there? All right, we'll get you. All right. Okay, now the partner that's touching the lower end of the spine, you're now going to change your tactile aid, and you're going to give some support under the back of the head, and your partner will watch the half of the head behind the cardinal coronal plane sliding up as the spine continues to lengthen. Okay, so you do that. All right. Now you can slowly release the tactile aid in both places. And those persons who are sitting, will you do the forward rock very lightly? You're just rocking very slightly forward on the... Now, just balance on the sit bones. Let that reduce to being almost imperceptible. And now, let's nod the head just as you were flexing your trunk at the iliofemoral. Just a slow, easy flexion of the head at the atlanto-occipital. Each time you go forward, watch the back half of the head sliding up. So that there's a slight upward intention with that back. Okay, and then walk forward on the sit bones. Bring one foot behind the other. And let's change to the standing position. And then you can just balance on your femur head, a little bounce. Okay, now let the second member of the group go into the position. We'll work on them. Okay, just take a moment to get centered on your sit bones. Now think, even before you get the tactile aid, of the knee ends of your femur bones rising. Okay, you need to be on a lower bench. That bench is too high. Yes. See your femur bone. You need that angle to be 90 degrees the way it is here. That's very good. Okay, now lift a little of the weight out of the knees to help float the knees. And then touch the sacrum in back. Give support on the sacrum in back. And as you feel that support, watch the sacrum as a fan widen and the lower part, the tassel on the fan, lengthen. Just watch that. Now the person in back, work on the head now. Give the head a slight lift so the back half of the head slides up. And you still want to image the lower end of the spine releasing. This is what you do in constructive rest when you get the pants legs over the hanger. Okay, now release your tactile aid in both places. We'll give you tactile aid again here, just one minute. Now, do the little forward rock. Each time you rock forward, let the knee into the femur bones extend and rise, and the femur head sink into the acetabula there as you do the little rock. And then just balance on your sit bones. Let the movement become almost imperceptible. Now nodding the head at the lateral-occipital. Watch the back half of the head slide up as the tailbone continues to lengthen and the sacrum widen. Okay, then you can walk forward on the sit bones. Put one foot behind the other and pry yourself up into the standing position. Now let's balance on the femur heads and balance. Okay, now let's take the third member of the group. We'll work on you again. Just take a moment to find your sit bones and find the balance. The head in between. The knee ends of the femur bones are rising. The pelvic ends are delivering the weight into the pelvis. And the back half of the head sliding up as the sacrum, as a Japanese fan, widens and lengthens from below. Okay. Now let's start the tactile aid. Take some of the weight out of the knees. Support the sacrum with your hand. Now you might want to recall constructive rest, how when you get support in the knees, see, that lets you lengthen your spine. And this is what is going to help you learn to sit down on these benches and be comfortable. So just think it a moment. This knee ends are rising up as you let the weight of the legs deliver into the pelvis, and the sacrum widening and lengthening, tailbone lengthening, back half of the head rising up. Okay, now let's take the tactile aid from the lower part of the back, and now you're going to change to the back half of the head sliding up. See, all of these things are happening. We just focus on one or two at a time, but they're all happening. So you can go back and forth between them if you want to think them. And as the back half of the head slides up, the lower end of the spine gets longer, and the sacrum widens as a Japanese fan. Okay, now we'll slowly remove the tactile aid. And now the little forward rock. And as you rock forward, let the femur heads sink into the acetabula. The knee ends of the femur bones extend and rise. And then let that reduce itself to where it's almost imperceptible. and then a little slight rocking of the head in the sagittal plane. And the back half of the head slides up. As you rock forward. Okay. Now walk forward to the edge of your bench. And you put one foot behind the other. Fold forward. And you unfold. Standing position. And let's balance on the femur heads now. And a little balance. Now everybody, let the weight rest on the femur heads. Okay. Remain standing, and I want to continue with one more little process. Now what I want to do is to partner just in the person next to you, just going to be a one-to-one, not a three-group, two-group. And what we'll do first, Kathy, let me work with you, if you will. Come over and then everybody can see. Yesterday I told you about the armpit softening. We worked on that in constructive rest and the sides of the ribs slanting down like the branches of a tree. That is to say, we did not want to pull weight up into the sides of the ribs, but rather the upness comes through the front, through the sternum, not through the sides here. And we soften the armpits and let the ribs drop away from the soft armpits as we watch the sternum rise. So the tactile aid we're going to give is to come behind our partners and just go up into the armpits for a moment and touch them and give them an opportunity to let the armpits soften, to let the weight drop out of the armpits. And then that's going to let the weight drop on out of the ribs. It's as if you were letting the sides of your ribs drop down out of your armpits instead of attempting to pull the sides of the ribs up into here. That's what I'm talking about when I say let the weight drop out. Instead of pulling the sides of the ribs up into your armpits, you're going to let that weight drop out, or let the sides of the ribs in your thinking drop down. The ribs taper down. You want to allow that taper to happen. They are thrusting in the spine. I'm going to show you a cantilever. I didn't do that in this group. I'm going to show you a cantilever. I want you to see this mechanism because it'll help you with your imagery. You'll be able to see how, if I can get this to work, okay, this is a cantilever. You have compression support on one end of the lever and tensile support on the other end. This is compression support. I'm compression support. This is giving tensile support. Now that's what your rib cage has, both tensile and compression. It's a cantilever, really, effect. So the ribs are resting in the spine for compression support. The muscle support pulling up on the manubrium. And also it's getting, in addition to that, a bracing effect from the first rib, which is a combination of tensile and compression. Of course, the first rib getting its support from muscles going into the spine from that first rib. But let's keep the image clean by just imagining that the sides of the ribs hang like this. We don't want to pull these up. The pull-up is going to happen from here, and the ribs are going to just dangle.
Your hand is the limb.
Yeah, you could think of it that way if you
and
want.
This is the spine?
Well, I'm the spine.
Right.
Yeah, I'm the spine. This would represent a rib. This represents the collective tensile force through here. Now, the part of the tensile force that we want to work on here is to let these hang and let this rise, the sternum rising up to the atlas to give you the tensile support, because this is where we want to think of it being, not down here. In other words, we don't want to use the intercostals to pull the ribs up here, but leave them free so they can breathe for you, because that's what they're going to be helping you do. All right, let's, yes.
Like you're saying about the weight of the shoulders that's going down through the sternum, and then you say the weight of the ribs goes up. You said the shoulders go down through the sternum into the ribs.
The weight, the compression support of the shoulders on the sternum is transferred through each rib to the spine. So your shoulders are resting on your spine. That's what I meant by that. That whatever compression support is on the sternum is being taken to the spine through the ribs. That's in addition to the tensile support that it's getting. It has both.
So there's a kind of upward and a downward movement on the sternum?
Well, I wouldn't... Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. If you want to think of the weight that travels down through the sternum, that's all right, but it's not going to go very far because at each level, the rib is going to take the weight and transfer it down to the spine. But you could think down through there. That's all right. You can do that too. That's fine. You can do that. That's all right. If you want to do that, that's fine. It's okay. As long as you have your central axis moving up. Okay, now, let's give that tactile aid. I want to create this image. Let me work on you, Kathy, again. So everybody take the partner, and let's watch now the softening of the armpits in here as you watch the sternum rise. Softening in the armpits, and the sternum is rising. Weight just drops right down the sides, all the way down through the sides of the legs and feet. Okay. Now, I'm going to take that tactile aid away for just a minute after you finish. As you're standing with your weight resting on the femur heads, and these armpits, dropping the weight out of the armpits as the sternum rises, let your weight again rest on the femur heads. I've come back to that several times for a reason. Okay, now, and I'm going to help you with this more as we do constructive rest and perhaps another time in the upright position this morning. Let your breath rest on the femur heads. And bounce on the femur heads. And we'll have more about that as the lesson progresses. Okay, now take your part, change positions with your partner and work on your partner's armpits. Okay, I think you need to work, Kathy, with Louisa. So, You're letting the weight and or the ribs drop out of the armpits as the sternum rises to the atlas between the ears. Or you can just simply think of the puppeteer giving you support here, if that's more to your liking. Then take that weight or rib dropping with tactile aid right down your partner's sides. Through the outside of the leg and foot. Nice. Okay, now let your weight rest on the femur heads. As the weight drops out of the armpits, catch it on the femur heads, as it were. And as you let the weight of the body rest on the femur heads in your image, think of your breath resting on the femur heads instead of pulling the breath up into the manubrium. As the sternum slides up to the atlas, it's not taking the breath with it. The breath is going down to your femur heads. And a little bouncing on the femur heads for a moment. Okay, now make yourselves comfortable on the bench for a few moments. All right, now let me see. Kathy Anderson, Louisa is here, Lawless here, right, Kathy Dana, Catherine Duncan is here, Sabina Einfeld, okay Sabina, I got you, Sarah Freeman, Sarah, okay Robert is here, Victoria Goodrich, there. Griffin, Sarah Hart, Viviana Ingravalo, Ulrika Kayan, okay, Ulrika, Aviva Keller, Aviva, okay, Lee Lightfoot, no, okay, Danny is here, Isha Mayim, no, Jane Seabrook, okay, Jane. Rhea Irvine, okay, Rhea, Soto here, Teresa not here, Kate Jones, no, all right, Deborah Beer, no, Kristen Belair, Tamar is here, Such, did I see Such here? No, 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 Janice Jenkins. Marianne, no. Inga Martin, no. Gita, Claire Sherman. Aliza. Okay. Danny, did you want to say something?
Question. Is it
And I also have two copies, just two copies of the intermediate or advanced, as we term them, that I can give somebody this morning if they need them. I just have two. Danny will have to make the rest.
It'll be confusing you if people buy them and you have to give them the check.
Oh, no. No. That they can't do. No. If they've already given you a check, then it's deal for you.
If you've already given me a check, then you can take the money and buy them. If you don't sell them, you can give them to me and I'll just check the money.
One of the two tapes that you'd be ordering. All right.
So, and if anybody hasn't given me a check, I certainly if I'm going to get the two tapes that I want to
do. Okay, thank you, Danny. Any other announcements? All right. How are we coming on with the party plans, Jamie? Group and probably, okay, fine. Good. All right, thank you.
And if you bring wine, don't bring red wine. That's the only thing, because it's a thing. So bring wine.
Okay. Today we're going to work on the tongue a little bit. And I want to explain to you about that. The tongue is related quite often to the shoulder tension and balance that we've been working upon. And here's the way that works. If you can see under the jaw here, there's a little horseshoe-shaped bone, which is called the hyoid bone. The hyoid bone. And in this chart, it's right here. Can you see that in the skeleton here? Right up there. Looks like a little horseshoe.